This is Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio Channel 869.
Want to know what to eat, where to go and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Soundbites every Saturday, brought to you by the Food Cops on Radio Today. Good afternoon, South Africa, and welcome to Radio Today Johannesburg. You're listening to myself, Edward Chamberlain-Bell, and...
the gorgeous Kate Goetz.
I thought you were going to say the gorgeous Edward Chamberlain-Bell.
That too.
Well, I will say the gorgeous Kate Goetz as well.
Oh, thank you, Edward.
With Christmas just around the corner, I'm going to ask you, material girl, what is your favourite Christmas present to get?
Oh, perfume.
Perfume.
Hands down perfume.
Hands down perfume.
Actually, I am a perfume fan.
What's your favourite perfume?
Shalimar, Guerlain.
Ah,
okay. The oldest perfume on the market.
Okay.
And if you've been down the Champs-Élysées and been into the Guerlain shop, you'd know why.
You would know why. I find, actually, I'm quite partial to aftershave and fragrances myself. And I've actually got so many aftershaves that what I've started doing is the ones that I don't like, I decant into...
Oh, you're not donating them to charity?
These aren't good enough for charity.
They're too good for charity. Yes.
But I decant them into little... dispensers, and then I use them as disinfectant, and I use it just like spritz up my shoes or something. So I always find, because like fragrances change, the big thing what I really am mad about getting for Christmas, and if anybody wants to get me something for Christmas, then no, they will never go wrong by buying me a book or even giving me a voucher to go and buy a book, because you throw me into a stationery shop or into a bookshop, and I'm like a kid in a candy shop. I just love the smell.
It's funny you should mention this, Edward, because just yesterday I was dragging my mum around the Pick and Pay on William Nicol, which is just the most amazing shop, and there's a beautiful new book out called What Katie Ate, and I said to her, even if I don't use it, read it or like it, I want it on my coffee table.
Is it a kiddie book or is it
no, it's a cookbook.
It's a recipe book.
It's Kate, an English cookbook, What Katie Ate.
Who is Katie?
And an author, a chef, quite clearly. And I'm quite excited. You know, do you remember the children's books, What Katie Did?
Yes.
This is What Katie Ate.
Okay, because it sounds like a kiddie book.
Yes.
On the subject of books, one of my favorite places to go shopping for books is Scoobs, which is all the way out in Monte Cassino. And we are welcoming Colleen Whitfield into the studio to tell us a little bit more about what they do at Scoobs, because you guys don't sell books, do you, Colleen?
Welcome, Colleen.
Hello,
lovely to meet you.
No, we're not just a bookstore. Scoobs is a destination place. We have a coffee shop. We have a champagne bar. And we try to make... Yes,
fabulous.
It's wonderful.
What a great idea.
Suddenly you've got Kate's attention. Well, Kate, why do you think I go to Scoobs?
The champagne bar and the coffee shop is really an additional to Scoobs. But Scoobs itself is really focused on books. So Scoobs came about. It's an independent bookstore because we really felt that we needed a place where people could just come and relax and sit down and enjoy a book, go browse through a magazine in the comfort of a champagne setting or a coffee shop setting. And I think that's what we accomplish every single day. I mean, people just love to come to Scoobs just to sit and...
Whereabouts are you in Monte Cassino, Colleen?
We're just to the left of the actual casino itself. So, and it's a really big store. It's probably one of the biggest bookstores in South Africa.
And you open at night?
We open from 9 in the morning until... midnight most evenings, yes. So
that's actually what I love, because I often don't... I don't know who does have time to go browsing in bookshops during their lunch hour. So for myself, we go to Munch, we can go for supper, we can go for movies, we can pop in at Scoobs.
Pop into a show.
You can literally languish around in the lounge, drinking champagne, drinking coffee, and just browsing through books. The one thing that amazes me about Scoobs is it's actually Scoobs Theatre of Books, and it really is a theatre. It's a fantastic production with these double levels, little bars on the one side, you do launches and everything. But I always wonder whenever I go to Scoobs, because you are an independent, isn't it scary to have to open a one-man, that doesn't sound right, but a one-man bookshop, when you consider that there are so many multinationals around South Africa that probably get bigger discounts, better deals, blah, 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 blah. So how do you guys manage to stay competitive against the Goliaths?
It is a bit scary in some ways, but I think what Scoobs does slightly differently is it makes it a shopping experience for people. It's not just about going somewhere just to get a book. It's about going to a bookstore and actually enjoying the visit to the bookstore. So you come there, we have knowledgeable staff that understand books, that are able to suggest books to customers and things like that. It's a very personal experience. It's not just somebody standing behind the counter that's just going to be selling you the book. It's somebody interacting with you. You know, if you want somebody to sit upstairs, and we host quite a lot of private and corporate events even. And that is exactly what we tend to do.
And book launches? Book signings?
Book signings, book launches all the time. So it's really a personal experience, and I think that's what we offer, and a lot of people want that. A lot of people, there's so many books out on the market today, and it's very difficult sometimes to like decide what you want to read. So going into a bookstore and actually getting like information from somebody that knows the products, that understands what's coming out, that knows your, you know, and we really get to have like a lot of regular people that come in, so we know their reading styles, we know what they want to read.
Colleen, my mum often talks about her days of living in the 70s in Hillbrow and how all the big bookshops were open at night, and how dynamic and incredibly continental it was, where you could just wander around, have a cup of coffee, enjoy the books. It sounds like a similar retro idea.
It's very similar to that, and I think that people really want that today. I mean, our lives are so pacey and we're so rushed all the time. It's just nice to take some time out, to relax, to sit in a beautiful environment like Scoobs, and just have somebody assist you in selecting books.
And are you a prolific reader?
An enormous reader, yes.
So
I
mean,
would imagine one of the best things about working a bookshop is that you get to preview and read everything. I mean, there's never a dull moment. If you've got 5 minutes spare, you can quickly like browse
and
through something.
And all the authors. How fascinating.
It is, exactly that.
People like Dion Meyer?
Definitely.
How fascinating. Well,
both of them are exactly why it is, because often you'll meet an author and the book is something that you might not have picked up with, and then you meet the author and you just fall in love nearly with the author, and then you read the book and you understand the book so much better, if you know what I mean. So it's wonderful to have that interaction, that personal interaction with the author, and I think that's what we also try to do with the customers. We try to bring that over to the customers and say, yes, we've met this author, this is the reasoning behind the book, this is why the book came about. And yeah, we read quite a lot, so we do know.
Do you know who was at Scoobs a while ago, and we had her on the show, was Adele Green, who wrote Can You See Me Naked? And we had on the show, and the same day she invited me to her launch. Edith Venter was there as well. There were a couple of big powwow people. But the nice thing about it is like such an intimate experience where Adele basically...
Well, being naked, Edward, it would be.
You're too fast. Actually, I'm thinking of giving that book to a couple of people just to see the reaction on their faces. Mm-hmm. But it's a stunning book.
I have it on my coffee table. I've had some interesting reactions.
You read
too.
It? Mm-hmm.
I've read parts of it, actually, and it's terribly interesting and informative.
It's the kind of book you can keep referencing. You read it once and you enjoy it and you keep going back. But then also in addition to, well, what I enjoyed about the presentation with adults, one thing to have had in the studio, but when you see her and you listen to her interact with everybody asking her questions about the book, what motivated her, it actually builds up a more intimate relationship with the author. And I think that's what books do. They connect you with thoughts, ideas, people, places. And obviously, I mean, everybody's got their favorite author. If you enjoy somebody's writing style, you feel as though you know them. And when we were there, after the Adele show, one of the assistants at Scoobs told me that Lloyd Sele, well-known South African singer, he's just launched...
From Idols.
Yes, that's he's right. The guy that half-won Idols...
Half-won Idols, yes, with Elvis Blue.
And both of them actually shared the prize and they shared the title.
Oh, they were very gracious about that.
Exactly. It shows you how genuine... And that shows you what true artists they are. Mm. No temperamental diva... nonsense. I'm not going to say what I was going to say on radio, but none of that temperamental diva nonsense. And when we went, and I was sort of thinking, I've heard Lloyd Sele, I've heard him sing, I've seen interviews of him on Top Billing, he sings the theme
song. Yeah, he seems like a super guy.
And when we actually went, and I thought, oh, you know, it's going to be another celebrity talking about their book. But honestly, Lloyd Sele is so gracious and so generous, it was actually a treat to meet him. And the big thing, he was obviously going to sing a few songs, and I sort of think to myself, oh, please don't do an acoustic version of your CD, because it really is a stripped down Rihanna version.
Yeah, we don't need Ava or Dancing Queen.
No, but honestly, Lloyd Sele rocked that house. He had a small band around him. He performed.
Well, I must come and have a look at this.
Yeah, his voice was on par excellence. And you know, often a CD creates an impression in your mind. When you hear the artist perform it, you think, well, there's a bit of overdub there. He was fantastic. Now, Scoobs actually has a lot of these events where if guys are launch and girls are launching their books, they've got a product to promote, you actually bring them in. And it, like this Lloyd Sele presentation, was literally a free mini concert. It was an absolute treat. So, hey, thanks to you guys for inviting me, even though I think a semi-gate crashed. I didn't get a formal invitation, I was just told. What is the motivation? How do you actually get these acts together? Because you've got the champagne bar and you've got catering facilities, so that obviously makes it easier.
Well, we have the perfect venue for eventing, so that does make it easier. And our focus really is on local. We really are passionate about local books and local authors. It's really difficult to get published today. And I find a lot of them hit like a brick wall when it comes to events and things like that. So we really, you know, make ourselves available for local authors in that. And the one thing about our events is that we try to make them special. Each event should be slightly different. We want to make them informative, enjoyable, entertaining. And it's just, it's not just somebody discussing the
book.
Something
a bit edgy, I'm quite sure.
It's very edgy, and it's really interactive. And because Scoobs is quite an intimate setting where we have the launches, it sort of nearly feels like somebody's coming into your lounge and sitting down and actually discussing the book with you.
Very much so.
So it really is
comfortable.
It's very comfortable. There's lovely chairs. We lay it out very easily.
Now, Colleen, I'm dying to hear about all the celebrities. Who have you met?
Well, we've met some wonderful people. I had John Cleese in the store. He didn't do a book launch, but I must admit I was very intimidated. I felt like I'd been called into the headmaster's office.
Just you a have wonderful read the newest
book.
He was down to promote the movie, and he popped into the store. Yeah, and
nice one.
He loves Scoobs, so it's wonderful to see him. No, we've had some great authors, and sometimes the authors are really. It's very difficult to say who are going to be the great authors, because sometimes the authors are prima donnas, and then other times we get the most humble of people. Lloyd was just the most amazing person. Humble, willing to do anything, just accommodating, you know, so it was really lovely. But we've had some really great authors. And last night we had Michael Neal. He's a life coach of quite a few famous people worldwide. And last week, Graham Butcher. So what we try to do is we try to pick books that have different topics. So it's not that you come in every week to a fictional book, or every week there's a different topic, every week the theme of it's slightly different, and we plan the event so that it's entertaining every single time. So we have regulars, we have people that come to every single launch. And sometimes we have one or two launches a week. So, and every time they leave, they say, oh, what a wonderful night.
I'm a huge fan of all the cookbooks. Have you met all the interesting chefs?
Yes. Well, obviously, Benny is attached to Monte Cassino. So Benny's been into the store. Last year, he did a soup campaign with us where you could come and have soup with Benny.
Yes.
And we had Jan Bryan in the store a few months ago.
I actually went to a MasterChef evening at the Pivot Hotel with Benny. It was superb.
Wonderful. It's also just
it was
the
such
most
fun.
Genuine
and we got great
person.
Goodie bags.
I'm trying to ask you, Kate, do you cook a lot?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I'm a very, very avid cook.
And
I'm not as good as I'd like to be, but I do love cooking.
At least you might. Do you use recipe books?
Sometimes. Otherwise, you just use your instinct.
I find I'm very big on buying recipe books to read them for ideas and inspiration. And although I think I've got about 30, 40 recipe books, I don't think I've actually referred to them or used them. And I've never made a recipe from scratch according to the book. But to me, you give me a recipe book, it's like watching the Food Network. Give me a recipe book and it's like reading a novel. I read the ingredients, turn over, look at the pictures, read the ingredients, turn over, and in the back of my mind, I'm always referencing things. So I say, if you want to give me a book, it will never, ever go to waste.
I suppose baking is also very important for that.
Baking is very important. Mm. Actually, I would like, there's so many books that I'd like, so we're not going to go into that. If listeners want to come to a Scoobs event, how do they get onto your mailing list? So I'm sure you don't want hundreds of Jersey people just popping in unexpectedly, because obviously you want
to
cater.
Maybe you do.
Maybe you do.
Everyone is welcome.
But I mean, Scoobs would want to cater for numbers and cater That's for right. people. So if people want to come to one of your events or to get onto your mailing list, how would they do that?
They can just drop me an email at info@scoobs.co.za and send me their details, and I'll put them on our mailing list.
Actually, it was so easy. That's what I did. I don't know how I got a Scoobs email.
Adele.
No, it was before Adele. It was probably Adele. And I just said, please pop me onto your mailing list. And you don't spam people. You just send these at events. And if people want to go to an event at Scoobs, all you do is RSVP politely. And if you don't want to go, well, then you just don't have to go. You've had so many events that, unfortunately, I haven't been able to attend all of them.
Well, please put me on the list. I'd like to come.
Well, Kate,
yes.
I'm going to suggest you are going to email info@scoobs.co.za and you'll be added onto the list.
Fabulous. I'm having a look at the Christmas books, so I wouldn't mind popping in and having a good look.
Actually, Christmas. Almost forgot, and I just said it a while ago. What are a couple of the best ideas that you would recommend from Scoobs for listeners looking for the ultimate Christmas present?
Now, Colleen, I see. Having a look at your list.
Kate is actually making
the Daniel Steele
list.
Is still on the list.
I know.
Heavens, is that not so early 80s?
It is very 80s, but there are still some Daniel Steele fans out there.
As long as it's not Harold Robbins, Judith Kranz.
No, it's not quite
Jackie
as bad
Collins.
As that.
I used to love Judith Kranz.
All that smut they used to write about.
I used to, at school, we had
forbidden.
To do reading lists. And all the other kids, I mean, this is like standard 4 to standard 6, all the other kids used to review. I mean, none of them enjoyed reading as much as I did. and they're very unsophisticated reading, in my opinion. They always read the shortest book, Laurel and Hardy, or The Hardy Boys, and Nancy Drew, ever.
Nancy Drew.
And
I read every single one.
I used to read all of them as well. And my teachers would actually go, well, somebody standing at 4 or somebody standing at 6, you really should be reading something a little bit more substantial. My book lists, however, were less. Judith Krantz, Sidney Sheldon, all the trashy novels. And I thought my teacher would be very impressed if I was reading books that had 500 to 800 words. My English teacher, because I think she was very demanding, her name was Miss Hepworth, took a pen and she tore a line through. She didn't just tear a line through it, she literally tore through the page. And she said, Edward, I'm very impressed that you read big books, but you need to read good books. And I thought, and she said, I've read these books, and she said, yes, they're very good, but it's the kind of book that your mother should be reading, not you, not a boy who's like probably 13 years old. So she actually gave me a book list with
very informative.
She gave me a book list with E.M. Foster, D.H. Lawrence, Steinbeck, I think, and a couple of other really top-notch authors. And I didn't enjoy Hemingway. I'm not saying this to blow my own horn, but she said somebody with your aptitude for reading needs to distinguish the difference between reading a good book versus reading a trashy book. And to this day, my favorite authors are actually E.M. Foster and D.H. Lawrence.
I love E.M. Foster as well.
Actually, that's something I should do, is I should actually pop in and see what other books, because I need to replenish my collection. And I find there's a time and a place where you want to read something trashy like Judith Krantz or Daniel Steele. If that appeals to you, that appeals to you, that's great. I always say, so long as somebody's reading something, I'm happy. Even if it is a cartoon or a comics, at least it shows there's something bubbling in the background of their heads. But I also think people need to read books with a little bit of substance, because that actually deepens your soul. I'm going to sound very pretentious now. Okay, Kate, you're welcome to ask the
I'm
question.
I'm curious to see that Roald Dahl is still on the list. He'll never go out of fashion. Goodness, I've been reading Roald Dahl since I was 6, and that's many moons ago. Mandy Wiener is a fantastic author as well. I could not put Killing Cable down. I read it in 2 solid days. I used to sit at work reading it under my desk. It was the most fantastic movie, a book. And I see there are quite a few sports books, cookbooks, all kinds of exciting things. We'll have to pop in, have a good look.
Actually, the last book that
prizzies
I bought at Scoobs, as if I needed another one, was an encyclopedia of Madonna's career. But the great thing was...
This is why you and I get on so well.
This is why we get on so well. And every page basically broke down a phase of her career, as opposed to being this long thing. And it's a book that I love referencing books, keep referring back to them or returning back to, just to read a page, whatever. Okay, Colleen, we've left time a bit short, so in your last 2 minutes, I'm going to ask you the same question again. What sort of books, what ideas do you have for our listeners if they are thinking of Christmas ideas that Scoobs has to offer?
Well, the good news is there's some fabulous books out this year. So there's a book for everybody. There really and truly is.
I want to know if you've read the new Bridget Jones book.
I haven't.
I was a little bit
disappointed that Mark Darcy was killed off. So I thought, I'm not so sure.
She's an old, middle-aged, frumpy mother.
Yes, I know. But it is one of the top-selling books. So, yes, there's some wonderful books, some wonderful sports books. Mm-hmm. Mark Boucher, Alex Ferguson, great business
Jeremy Clarkson.
Books. There's Jeremy Clarkson.
Nice one. If my pet hate is if somebody gives me money or a voucher for my birthday, because to me that is just the most unimaginative thing to do. I would rather somebody goes and buys something and gives me the receipt. I always tell people, give me the receipt with my present so I can go and exchange it. But if people weren't sure about somebody's reading preferences, have you guys got a voucher system?
Certainly we've got vouchers, and they're welcome to buy the book in real exchange if it's not the correct book. And also we're there to help. So if somebody comes in and they know the person, just give us a little bit of information about the person you're buying a book for, and we can make suggestions, because that's our job. We know the books and we know the products.
So, if any of our listeners are looking not just for the perfect book for someone, but looking for the perfect Christmas present, and even if you're not too sure, you can either find it at Scoobs, or else you'll get a voucher, or take a chance, buy a book, because nothing surprises anybody more than a well-chosen book. And if they don't like it, include the receipt, because Scoobs are happily going to exchange it for you. But beyond Christmas, in fact, before Christmas, email Scoobs, info@scoobs.co.za, ask to be added to the mailing list, and they will invite you whenever they have your favorite authors popping into their store. Colleen Whitfield from Scoobs, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Colleen. Lovely to meet you.
And hopefully we have you in the studio again next year when you can tell us what books we should be reading in 2014.
And wonderful. Have a super Christmas.
Thank you very much. You too.
And on that note, quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Neil Starr. Please tune in to That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. for some real music nostalgia, when I'll be taking you on a trip down memory lane with music sourced exclusively off 78-speed shellac records. My music will cover anything from 1910 to the late 1950s. Remember, it's That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. with me, your host, Neil Starr.
How does an ordinary South African take on the raging war against drugs? Do you buy the deadliest weapons available or relocate to a safe neighborhood? An SMS could be just as effective. Be one of our faceless heroes. Report any suspicious behavior by SMSing an anonymous tip-off to Crimeline on 32211. Your anonymity is guaranteed. Crimeline is in partnership with the SAPS. SMS is charged at 1 rand.
If you want choice, meaning you can find spectacles you really like at the right price, come to Spectacle Warehouse at Hilfox Centre, Atterbury Value Mart and Centurion Lifestyle Centre. Stockist of Diesel, Gucci, Christian Dior, Pierre Cardin, Carrera, Armani, Hugo Boss, Levi, Ray-Ban, Rudy Project, David Green. Spectacle Warehouse. Unlimited choice.
Yes, yes, yes. This is David Cromer, and you're listening to 1485 AM Radio Today.
And you're back listening to myself, Edward Chamberlain-Bell, on Radio Today Johannesburg with the equally gorgeous Kate Getz. Kate, I am going to ask you a tricky question. Mm. I know you're good at reading, I know you're good at cooking, but are you good at brine?
Quite on the contrary.
Can you brine?
Edward, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was a student, my dad happened to phone me one afternoon and said, I'm running late, would you mind starting the braai fire? We were having people around that evening for dinner. So I said, well, I don't know how to do that. So he said, well, I'm sure any of the staff can help you. It can't be that hard to make a braai. I'm not a Girl Scout. I pulled out the fire lighters, the coals, the briquettes, tried my best. Anyway, the fire was still burning 3 days later.
Good God.
Needless to say, we did not eat dinner that evening. The fire was far too hot.
I'm very good at starting.
I do enjoy a good braai, but I'm not very good at doing that.
I'm very good at starting fires. I'm not so good at cooking on them. Everything becomes like a biblical reference, the Old Testament.
Myself. And this is a good family story. But
so just as well that we've got something fresh from the Ultimate Braai Master. They're going to give us a couple of tips in terms of how we can jack up our skills around the braai. And then also maybe a couple of Christmas ideas for Brian. Welcome to the show, Tandy and Andrew from Something Fresh. Great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
It's an honor.
Now, Tandy, it is a huge honor for us. I believe that you're from an explosive background, or an explosives background.
Yes.
How did you get involved with Ultimate Braai Master?
I think cooking, it's a part of me. It's a part of my family. It's a part of my life. And my brother here, Andrew, he is there. He's the cook of the family, so whatever he does, I follow. If I'm not blowing up things,
not in the kitchen.
Yes, I'm tagging along with Andrew and just getting new things to do, like this amazing show, Ultimate Braai Master, and it was just a chance for us to really bond.
Yeah, nice one. So, Andrew, I take it you're the one who's the culinary genius.
Yeah.
Catering background.
Yes, I've started from the bottom. I was a scullery before, and I did dishes for like 4 years, and I got up the ranks and I became a chef, and I started my own food truck a couple of years ago, and we've been based in Midrand. We do street food, restaurant style. Tani came to me and said, Andrew, let's do this. And I'm thinking, I cook every day. What a braai. I'm going to do on a braai. And we started doing this braai thing, and we got into the show, and
actually, how did they choose you? How do you apply to become?
Is it like MasterChef?
Yeah.
Similar idea?
It's very
similar. It's similar to MasterChef. What you do, the process starts with an online application. And then obviously they shortlist after that.
Yeah.
And then you go through to an actual audition. And that's where the fire really is.
Yeah. Excuse the pun.
Yeah. That's where basically you get to meet all these other contestants. And it's a lot of people who are very good in braai. You know, braai, people take things for granted. Things
sure.
Like things just lamb chops and boerewors.
And you can really make a bad braai,
yeah,
too.
It can make a bad braai, but people in South Africa love to braai. This is really part of our culture.
It's perfect weather.
And it is definitely beautiful weather out there, but people really brine South Africa. And we got into the show and we tried our best and we got into it.
So, what do you like to braai?
Myself.
Your favorite things?
My favorite thing to braai is skilled butter. You know, it's
really?
Kidneys on a braai.
Yeah. I've heard an old fashioned thing. I haven't heard about that since I was a child.
Yeah, I love that. The thing is, I've worked in the Karoo and places like that, and I worked with a lot of Afrikaans guys. And it's skilled butter and Richelieu brandy. So I reckon I drank too much
brandy
and I like the
okay.
And I like the skilled
butter. Did you mix it with Coke?
Yeah. Never trust a sober chef.
So never. How?
If you enter the ultimate braai master, you literally have to raise your game. Like you're saying, you can't just do boerewors and chops. You've got to do almost like a fine dining gourmet meal, which I think is difficult enough to do in the kitchen, let alone do it on
without
a braai.
Without charring it or overcooking.
Or
an open fire. You know, I always thought as well, I was like, no, it's just a braai, you know, a few coals here and there, you know, maybe
you
even
have
a
to get
gas.
The temperature quite right. So just explain to me, is it gas or is it coal?
No,
it's a fire.
It's a live,
you do
open,
a
roaring,
fire.
Hot fire.
So you can't mix and change?
No, there was no mixing and changing. It was intense.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I mean, everything was done on the fire. You had to even bake. On the fire.
Oh, a good port bird on a fire is fantastic.
You guys have to do everything. And also you've got that element of unpredictability, and that you don't know if the weather is like, you don't know if your ingredients are like, you don't know if you'll...
You don't even know where you're going.
Yeah, you know, fires tend to have a mind of their own, so
they
really have to work with the fire, not force the fire.
Oh.
So how do you guys actually come up with ideas for recipes?
Well, I had a neat little trick. I had all of Justin Bonello's cookbooks comprised into one.
Yes.
I had it in one big notebook. So everywhere we would go, I would, you know, try to guess that, okay, if we're going, for example, if it was the Karoo, what did he do when he was there, you know?
Mm.
I'd go into a frenzy, like, it was like I'm writing a law exam or something like that, you know, the way we used to go over all these.
So you actually did research before you did it at the show.
Yeah, I'm quite a smart pants, you know, I call ourselves
if you say so
Pinky
yourself.
And the Brain. I work out everything before. And then Andrew will just polish it up with his fine culinary skills. And that was the tea.
And what do you normally put together with these braai?
Look, most of the braais, they always had obviously protein on that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what Justin tried to do is he tried to make every episode about a different element.
Mm.
Where
I've seen some of it on
the
TV.
So one, like for instance, one had just salads.
Mm-hmm.
What's a braai without a salai?
Mm-hmm.
Then we had one challenge with just with beef. You know, so every episode had different elements.
Or bread, or dessert.
So they always try to balance things out. And that's what a good thing they did on the Ultimate Braai Master. But end of the day, you just have to bring your A game. You just have to be creative. You have to be passionate. And just put out your heart on the plate.
I actually see his book here is listed as one of the top Christmas books.
Yes, it is.
Scoops, which is interesting. We've just interviewed the lady from Scoops, and the Ultimate Braai Master Roads Less Traveled is on the top Christmas list.
Yeah, and our recipe is in there as well.
Yeah, we've got a couple of recipes in that book, so I think you should change that book's name, eh?
I look forward to seeing it.
Well, maybe if you guys win, well, even if you don't win Ultimate Braai Master, I'm pretty sure that you two will, is you can actually bring out a Something Fresh cookbook.
Yes.
That's actually one of the plans, long-term plans that we have, and this has been always our dream. I mean, we started watching Cooked how many years ago?
Sure.
When
2006.
It came out? 2006.
Yeah.
And we told ourselves, damn, that's what we want to do, Andrew. I mean, if we could go to all these places and cook these different meals. And from there, we've been lovers or fans or groupies of Justin Bonello. So, I mean, to be on a show with him.
But when are we going to see your book?
I'm pretty sure Justin is blushing.
I hope he's blushing.
We're going to see your book.
Yeah. Look, we are busy with something for Something Fresh. We're busy with a TV show as well, Fresh to Death. And it's, you know, we wanted to be in this limelight, to be in this situation for a long time. Watching Justin, like, since 2006 and seeing what he did there. And always saying, you know what, I can do that as well. And I think what Ultimate Braai Master and Cook Production does as well, it makes you feel that you actually can do what they do. Because
yeah,
it's
course.
Normal people doing great things.
Well, I've always said a braai is a braai is a braai. I've never gone to a braai where anybody ever did anything different.
Yeah.
And it's only watching Ultimate Braai Master that I realized There are so many things
different
that you can actually do. And it doesn't have to be like a typical braai flesh with just meat and potatoes.
Like
You can actually do so many exciting things. Yeah. Actually, tell us, what are some of your favorite dishes that you prepared on the show?
On the show? Definitely, we had a leg coming back to Joburg, so there's no burger like a Joburg burger. So on that episode, we did a burger. We did our Peppino burger, what's in the Fresh Living magazine as well. And we also did our Bugatti burger. These are basically stuffed burgers. So it's like a Juicy Lucy on the Peppino. It's got Parmesan cheese. It's got roasted red pepper and jalapeno. It's got a little bit of a spice. It's enclosed with another burger patty. Comes in a roll, brioche roll, with Asian greens, Asian slaw, with the burger.
You definitely can't do this on diet.
No, you can't do it on a diet, but then the Bugatti burger just has maybe a bit more healthier because it has avocado, guacamole inside.
What is Bugatti, Kate? Is that a jewelry or is that a car?
It's a car.
Yes. Okay, lady.
Girl power. It's a car.
Girl power. I was watching that Britney Spears video.
Work.
Just keep the work to it. Work. And it's such a mindless, frothy song. It's got no, it's typical Britney, no substance. It's just high style. And when you look at the video as well, it's just one... And I'm going to say it honestly, it's one pornographic image after another. Like I said, it's a typical Britney Spears song. But I love that thumping bass line.
You better work.
You got to work. Okay, but that's how I know what a Bugatti is. I always thought a Bugatti was a diamond or something. Okay, maybe it's both. So tell us about the Bugatti burger. I thought that sounded quite rich, and now you're saying it's quite healthy.
It's, whatever way you want to look at it, it's healthy and it's rich because... It has the health influence in terms of it's got top lean beef, so it's lean beef in it. Then it's got avocado, what's a guacamole, what has a little bit of acidity. So acidity always cuts down in a lot of things. And then it comes on a beautiful roll, same as the Asian slaw. But it is a bit rich, but I'll say it's healthier. The healthiest burger.
It's a lean, mean machine.
A lean, mean machine.
Andrew, what about some unusual things? Do you do things like turkey, for example?
Yes, look, we had actually going into the additions when we went in, we used our...
Coming up to Christmas, I make you an example.
Okay, Christmas time to go on it. We can do like a turkey ballantine where you have an actual turkey. Mm-hmm. People like putting turkeys in the oven. Why not just take the turkey, take the bones out, ask your butcher to take the bones out, and then you stuff it with apricots and whatever you want to put in the stuffing.
My uncle does a fabulous turkey on the
So roll it up and put on a Weber. You know, you can do a braai on it. You can still do a braai for Christmas Day as well. So you do something like that. Or, you know, on desserts, like we learned to do a lot of desserts on the braai, even though we flocked most of it.
Yeah, interesting. Like what? For example?
Malva.
A Malva pudding?
Yes, Malva on the braai as well, yes. We did actually a very good dessert. Didn't work out, but we did a poached pear with a normal cake recipe. Mm-hmm. And you poach the pears, you make the cake mixture, and you add it to it. So when you bake it, it actually gives you, when it puffs up, the pears goes up as well. It looks so beautiful. It rises up, and it looks so beautiful. And with a creme glace or a normal custard or cranberry sauce or something like that, you know, there's a lot of things you can do.
Gosh, I think you're giving everyone a lot of inspiration.
I hope so.
As the holidays come up.
You're actually giving me a couple of ideas because just listening to you, you often think with Ultimate Braai Master, every man thinks that he can braai, so let me go into Ultimate Braai Master. But just listening to the names of the recipes and the dishes and the ingredients that you use.
Skull pikeys.
Yeah, well, with the exception of skull pikeys. You're obviously an exceptional culinary wizard. So, I mean, when I listen to the ideas that you're coming up with, and I think this is actually what makes it harder for people to enter Ultimate Braai Master for the next season, because you guys have literally raised the game to such a standard. But this brings me to my next question. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, are you available to do private events or corporate events, doing catering, or tell us?
It's very simple. You can catch us every single day, Monday to Friday in Midrand. We have a street food truck over there, so we're working from 11 to 2 p.m. Monday to Friday. Then you can catch us at the Four Ways Farmers Market on Sundays. There we do great things there as well. Either way, you can catch us on Twitter, you can catch us on Facebook at Something Fresh, or Facebook us at Something Fresh in general, or you can call us as well. But you know, come to the market, come to Midrand, catch us on the streets, catch us in markets. It's very simple.
We've interviewed a few people
from the market.
Yes, every Sunday you catch us.
When did you guys start doing Four Ways Farmers Market?
About three months now. Yeah, 3 months. About three months.
Andrew, I want to hear about your pop-up, your little truck.
Yes.
This is a new fashionable thing. All of a sudden, you're reading and seeing so much
the
more.
The funniest part is that we've been doing this truck for 2 years. Yeah, we've been doing this food truck thing for 2 years. Mm-hmm. When we started out, there was nobody. Now there's a couple of people
and
trying.
And where do you circulate?
We circulate. We have a fixed location where we do Monday to Fridays. I think that's important. Even though over your food truck. You can catch us in Midrand in Becker Street, across from Waterfall Park and Thorny Hill. And then the truck, you can find it weekends. You'll just see us drive past you. You have a lot of people hooting at us. So whenever you see us on the road, just hoot.
Gosh, how much fun. And what kind of food do you serve?
We do very similar things to what we did on the show as well. That's a real advantage to us. We do restaurant-style food on the street. So where the Bugatti burger came from, it came from the street. You know, we do Goujon chicken. We do our quails. They also do quails in the street as well. So we do literally
quails.
Restaurant. Yes, we do quail.
Wow.
So what we do is we have we do quail, we do crab, we do calamari. Very conventional things. Things you get every day. Like the quail is just deboned and a grill. We do it with our fries, with our Asian slaw, with our summer salad because it's summer now. So you come past, you get restaurant-style food on the street.
Super. Literally. I've seen it on Donna's Drive-Ins and Dives.
Yes.
It's very fashionable in the States. So
it
that's
is
a
quite
fun idea to bring to Joburg.
Yeah. It is.
There's actually lots of people, especially internationally, that are doing these food trucks as a pop-up restaurant. Mm. And I imagine it presents its own set of challenges because you don't have the space to have all your resources at your disposal. So literally you've got to buckle down and just take the bare basic ingredients that you need and just like stay focused, which to me actually makes it a lot more challenging.
But sorry, for me personally, what I think is we're lucky because we're working with a lot of good guys in terms of Black and Ease is part of us, Mixed Masters part of us. So we do sushi, we do dum sum, we do the street food.
Oh, so
in
it's
terms
quite
of
a vast and
it's
varied
a vast,
menu.
Especially when
do
we do
change
our pop-ups.
It seasonally?
We change. The menu changes seasonally. But the thing is, when we do our pop-ups, that's when you actually get to see all these three individuals.
The whole experience, something fresh
come through there.
And so, do you do pop-up in an actual venue?
On the 1st of December, we've got one at...
Are you part of the slow food movement?
No, we're not part of the slow food movement right now, but we are part of something fresh, so that's okay.
So is every time a different venue?
Every time. So right now, on the 1st of December, we'll be at Arts and Main on a rooftop with the Black and Ease and Mixmaster. Then we're looking to go into Durban in December and one spot in Cape Town as
Okay, so it'll be countrywide.
Yeah, it will be countrywide in the beginning, but we'll try to keep it more Joburg because we're from Joburg.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Joburg loves.
Yeah.
Joburg loves people that love Joburg.
But also new and hot ideas and something a bit different, concept.
We're open to a lot of people. I could mention so many other guys we work with as well, you know. Mm. I'll just mention the three that we always with, you know. If you go to the markets, you know, everybody in Joburg is trying to make things happen. We're all part of it, you know. So, you know, there's nothing much, you know, this is Joburg. We've got to make Joburg what it used to be.
Actually, let's make Joburg part of the ultimate Braai Master. So when can Joburg watch you guys in action? So the season is coming close to the finals.
Tonight it starts. It plays every Wednesday, so you can start tonight at 8:30, SABC 3. Catch us live.
Every Wednesday, SABC 3 at 8:30.
Yes.
And if people want to get in touch with you, websites, Facebook, Twitter details?
We at Twitter, it's at Something Fresh.
Oh.
That's S-U-M-T-I-N-G Fresh. So something like the Ting Ting's Fresh.
Not something, something.
Something
Fresh.
It's got a little
I like something. Every night again. So if they, you know what actually the easiest thing to do is like you mentioned earlier, Google Something Fresh. What are your guys, what do you think your chances are of actually winning the Ultimate Braai Master? I know we're coming to finals.
We're holding thumbs.
Hold thumbs. It's been a rough one. Just hold thumbs and keep watching, keep supporting. If not, even if it's not for us, the whole show, it's just a perfect concept. It brings South Africa together. It's something
and it's
that...
it's nice exposure for you both.
Exactly.
As well. And Andrew, I want to ask you, are you the Ultimate Braai Master?
You know, in so many ways, I was before the show, and right now I am more the Ultimate Braai Master. So, yes, I am the Ultimate Braai Master.
So, you actually deserve to win.
Congratulations.
All the very best. As the show, yes, Ultimate Braai Master, and so much more as well.
We actually are going to run out of time, unfortunately. So, Joburg, don't forget, Wednesdays, 8:30, SABC 3, tune in to watch the Ultimate Braai Master, and please support Something Fresh. Not only are they true culinary wizards around the fire, but they're from from Jehovah's Witness.
Have you been drinking?
I haven't. I've been having Something Fresh. They are from Johannesburg, and I always think Radio Today, Johannesburg loves supporting Johannesburg, and Johannesburg needs to support Something Fresh.
Thank you.
Thank you, Edward.
Oh, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. We're going to love each other now. And on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, super.
Do you want to keep up to date with what's happening with Radio Today, Johannesburg? Have you always felt the urge to write on someone's wall but never quite dared? Now you can, and more, on Facebook. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/radiotodayjhb or on Twitter at Radio Today. That's the sign at Radio numeral 2 Day. Also follow our blog at radiotodayjohannesburg.blogspot.com. Radio Today, radio that delivers.
There is a code of practice that governs advertising in South Africa, a code upheld by the Advertising Standards Authority. So if you see or hear an advertisement you consider misleading or dishonest, don't just cover your eyes or block your ears or keep quiet about it.
Write to the ASA at PO Box 41555, Craig Hall, 2024, or fax to 011-781-1616 or visit www.asasa.org.za.
Get great summer savings on groceries. Get 350 grams of Nestle Milo cereal or cereal duo for only 20 rand. 9 Pick and Pay 2-ply toilet tissue is only 39.90. 2.5 kilograms of Pick and Pay white sugar is 21.70. Buy any 2 150-gram assorted Cadbury bubbly chocolate slabs for only 28 rand. Buy 2 kilograms of Omo Auto washing powder flexi bag or 750 ml of Omo concentrated liquid and get a 750 ml Handy Andy all-purpose cream free, and that's 45 rand. And you can save even more. Visit the kiosk and print your Smart Shopper vouchers. Only at Pick and Pay, always there for you. Prices are valid from the 14th to the 17th of November and prices apply to Gauteng stores.
This is Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio Channel 869.
Hello again, it's me. Your shoulders where I sit. The half nobody sees of a silent partnership.
And you're back with myself, Edward Chamberlain Bell, on Radio Today, Johannesburg, with Kate Gates. Kate.
Yes.
How much do you enjoy Miss South Africa?
Oh, and Edward, beauty pageants? I have watched every Miss South Africa since I was probably about 5 years old. I can name them back to 1985 in chronological order.
Okay, please.
I'm an
do.
Enormous fan, and I then won a prize where I won tickets to go to Sun City and watch it about 3 or 4 years ago, and I took one of my best friends, and we had the biggest, biggest jol. What a fantastic, fantastic competition.
Oh, I've never entered Miss South Africa myself. But I did enter one competition, Most Outrageous Drag, where I came second. Mm. I downed a bottle of vodka on the stage and I passed out short because I thought it'd be fun.
Are you sure you want to repeat the story on radio?
I've got to be recording. No, actually, just kidding, moving on. And then once I entered an impromptu competition for the sexiest butt competition, I won another bottle of vodka for that. So I do have my experiencing pageants. And today we've got Gordon Grieve joining us, who is a finalist in Mr. Gay South Africa for 2014. Welcome to the show, Gordon.
Hi, guys.
You're more than a pretty face. I'm going to say that. Unfortunately, radio doesn't do you justice. We need a TV show, but I keep saying that.
Thank you, Edward.
But you've also got a nice personality. So, and what I love about these competitions as well is you get an opportunity to represent the gay community in a positive light. So, tell me, what are you going to bring to this competition if you win? Not
basically,
if, when you win.
Basically, the Mr. Gay South Africa competition is a search for the ultimate gay male in South Africa. So it's not about beauty, it's not just about brains, it's physically about the whole package. It is what you can...
Well, so to speak.
Yes. It's about what you can bring...
And I'm allowed to say that.
Yes, you are.
So it's about you in body, mind and spirit.
Yes, and what you can do for the community at the end of the day. It's not about the fame or the fortune, because you do not get any of it out of it. It is just for the pure enjoyment of helping the gay community.
Well, Kate and myself are so selfish and self-absorbed, we would only do it for the fame and the fortune.
And the prizes, naturally.
Well, yeah, I'd assume the prizes would like add towards the
yes.
thing. So what makes you, I forgot what I was going to say now. What
oh,
would
as
you
he's
like?
His kit off here.
Yeah, I know. Keep your shirt on, Gordon. So what is it that you would actually like to bring to the party for the gay community?
It's
if you had one message.
If you can make a difference in any person's life, it means that you have done your part, because it works on the principle of paying it forward. So you go out, help one person, that person goes out and helps another two people, and it just snowballs effect from there. So if I can help one person, I'll be good, but it just gives you that alternative platform where I'd love to help the community, but at my current space now, yes, I can do it, but not to the extent that I want to, where Mr. Gay South Africa just gives you that extra platform where you can just do what's necessary.
I actually found there are so many stereotypes about gay people in terms of, like, gay people run around in dresses and women's shoes,
yes.
or things along those lines, they wear makeup. And that's like a stereotype that people have. And unfortunately, stereotypes persist and pervade society as we're living. But there are so many gay people who could be, and I hate the words, but I mean they're butch, masculine, straight acting, straight looking, whatever. There's much diversity in the gay community as there is diversity in South Africa. So when I think about it, when you look at a competition like Mr. Gay South Africa, it's not a drag show. You're not wearing a sash,
no.
You're not getting a tiara.
We do wear sashes. We do get sashes.
You do get a sash.
But not tiaras.
Where is the competition, Gordon?
The competition is in Cape Town at the new Cape Quarter Centre on the 13th of December.
Exciting. Yeah. Okay. Fantastic.
And is it open to the public?
Yes, it is. You guys can buy tickets on the Mr. Gay South Africa website. There's a link that takes you through automatically to Cape Quarter's website where you guys can
and
book
tickets.
And
how many rounds have you been through? You've obviously been through interviews previously.
Just two rounds. Mm-hmm. It's basically entries, semi-finals, and then finals in December.
And
what
how
is
many
the process?
Are in the finals?
There's 10 boys in the finals. Mm-hmm. They basically go through almost every province in South Africa, go through semi-finals, and then chooses the top 10 from there. If you look at the top 10, it's a very diverse group of guys. It's not... It's there it will show. Yes, it's literally, it's demographically, it's diverse. There's from fitness professionals to politicians all in the competition. So it is quite
so
a diverse
group. Politicians in South Africa.
Plenty. We always did.
Okay.
Plenty.
I want to know if you have to wear a swimsuit.
Yes, I do.
What is that like? That must be quite daunting.
It's fun. It's just like walking on the beach in a Speedo. It's nothing strange. It's nothing weird.
Nobody really does that.
No, you do. Go to Clifton in December. You'll see all the gays wearing Speedos on the beach.
Super. Sounds exciting.
What is the process that you have to go through to enter?
You basically just enter. There's a written exam that you need to submit when you enter, as well as photos. Yes, head and shoulders, full length, and then swimwear photos, because it goes through the perfect balance in life. So that will be brains, brawn, and
what is this exam? I'm very intrigued to know. What exam do you have to write?
They basically ask you questions regarding everything in the gay community around the world. So they will ask you, what is your stance on the Russian ban on gay propaganda? They will ask you, what do you think about something like corrective rape? They will ask you what you think of the House of Traditional Leaders that wants to take out the words sexual discrimination off of our constitution. Yes, out of our constitution.
And what did you say to that?
To me, it is wrong, because the words sexual orientation can be anything. It can be me as a gay person, it can be a lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and by them deleting those words means that anybody can be discriminated against for their sexual orientation. That means that you as a person, for instance, can be let go of your job.
Marginalized and discriminated against.
Yes.
Actually, sadly enough, if they really do push that through Parliament, that would also entitle people to discriminate against straight people.
They can.
Not that I'm a straightophobic, but theoretically, as the minute you start to make all these technical issues, it just broadens things where discrimination just creeps in left, right,
and
center.
We've still come a long way.
Yeah, we have actually come a long way, but we still have a lot of work that we have to do.
A lot of work.
What would you say is the biggest misconception that people have in South Africa towards gay people?
That we all wear dresses and makeup all the time.
Okay, do you also come across that a lot?
It is the biggest misconception. And also the biggest question is, in a gay relationship, is who's the husband, who's the wife? There is no such thing. We are gay for a reason. It's two males in a relationship, and that's it.
Well, when we got married, I think it'll be 4 very long years, on the 14th of February next year. When we got married...
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's
How incredibly twee.
Thank you for that. I tell you, my partner asked me 101 times to marry him, and I just kept saying, we can wait. And I said, yes, we just didn't agree on a date. And I said, yes, basically, so I buckled under pressure. And then one day I told him, I said, okay, fine, we'll get married, but whatever. And then he phoned me, said, okay, when are we going to get married? And I said, I've always had this idea, I want to get married on Valentine's Day. I said, I know it's very twee, and it's a cliche, but I said Valentine's Day. What I didn't realize is Valentine's Day was less than a week away. The very next day he phoned me, he had booked a church. And I thought, oh God, what have I gotten myself into? But he'd booked a church and organized anything. And I thought, well, if he could organize a wedding, I mean, who organized...
How do you be romantic?
I know. Actually, and neither of us were pregnant. But anyway, cut a long story short, you have a choice between a civil union and a proper marriage. So we actually got married as husband and husband. And people often ask us, who's the man, who's the woman? I said, do either of us look like... I mean, look at me, it's November, I'm growing a moustache and a beard. Do either of us look like women? And who does what?
But did you wear a dress and high heels?
Of course. I wanted to perpetuate that stereotype.
Okay,
so Gordon, but now obviously there's a fair emphasis on looks and appearance. And let's not sugarcoat, because the gay community, and we're probably stereotyping now again as well, but I think it's fair to say the world, but I mean the gay community, there's a lot of emphasis on physical beauty.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you, what do you do to present this perfection of manhood that is going to win the crown next year?
It's just going daily cleaning resumes, training 6 days a week.
What kind of training do you do?
Full body weight training.
Just weights?
Yep, just weights.
Okay, because you've got a nice lean...
I lose weight too quickly, so I can't do cardio.
Oh, Jesus, rub my nose.
I wish that was my problem.
I'm
10 kilometers a day and I still don't lose weight.
So I eat extreme amounts of food and just train very hard 6 days
Gordon,
a week.
And Gordon, what do you do other than being involved in this?
Well, actually, I was just going to say, it's interesting that Gordon mentions
how
that he
loses
weight. You also are involved at Beefcake.
Yes.
which is one of not South Africa's, but definitely Johannesburg's, one of Johannesburg's best burger joint. And I hate saying that, but it's the best burger joint in Johannesburg. So tell us, how do you manage to stay so trim when you're surrounded by such fabulous food of beefcakes?
I live on burgers.
Do you eat the roll?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I eat the rolls, I eat the carbs, I just stay active and have a healthy lifestyle at the same time. No, I'm not.
Yes. But beefcakes also puts on a couple of shows.
They do, yes. And it's lots of fun. And you'd be amazed at how many women go to beefcakes. They're bachelorette parties,
yes,
and all kinds
book
of
book clubs,
fun,
dinner clubs. It's 80% of our clientele is female. And it's so much fun. The beefcakes vibe
is conservative, Gordon, I would die to have the flamingo wallpaper. Oh, and to say nothing of the pink grand piano.
Yes, but it takes you away into a different world. Beefcakes is not just a restaurant. It's a full experience.
And you are the manager.
Manager, yeah. Basically do daytime's finances, as I worked in the bank before that. Yes, we are.
I thought it was just evening functions.
But yeah, shows are at night times most of the time. Mm. And it literally is from the shirtless boys to the food, to the drag shows.
Gordon, do you have drunk women throwing themselves at you?
Yes.
Because no doubt you are topless.
No, I'm not topless.
You're not
myself.
Topless.
Management's
manager.
Never topless.
Management's never topless, quote unquote.
That was an executive decision.
So but drunk women throw themselves at you.
They do, but it's a fun,
yeah,
crazy environment.
I've been a few times. It's a very fun evening.
Okay. I was going to ask you now, have you never been to Beefcakes?
No, I've been two or three times.
Okay, you've only gone in the evenings.
Mm.
The one thing I found about Beefcakes, it is like, I hate to use the cliche, but it's so flamboyant and over the top, but it's got this retro chic style that just works.
It's very Behind the Candelabra, if you've seen the new Liberace movie.
Oh, is that
it reminds
already?
You of
yes.
that. It's super, you must watch it.
Well, I got invited to go see that. I got invited to go see some Tom Cruise movie where he survives a war, and I thought, delete. But now coming back as well to Beefcakes, and also you've got the added advantage, you've got all these gorgeous waiters, not stripping, but like,
they're
walking
topless.
Around topless. Mm. You don't know what you want to eat. If you want to eat a burger, if you want to eat the waiter. But I mean, that's a conversation for another story. Gordon, coming back to Mr. Gay South Africa, if people want to support you and get in touch with you, what are your contact details?
All right. They can follow me on Twitter. That's Gordon _Grieve, GRIEVE, or Gordon for Mr. GSA on Facebook, just Gordon Grieve 5 on Facebook.
What I will actually do is I will share all of those details on my blog, edward.chamberlainbell.com. Thank God I could remember that this time. And I'll share my Facebook page, Edward Chamberlain Bell, very easy to find. So if you want to get in touch with Gordon Grieve and support him to win Mr. Gay South Africa 2014, those details will be there. Can people SMS votes, things along those
SMS
lines?
SMS votes, unfortunately, not this year. We do have a link on Mamba Online where they can go in, pop in your email
will
address.
Will it be televised, Gordon?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay.
If you want to come
on SABC.
See what happens. Well, Miss Gay Western Cape was televised on SABC, which was quite extraordinary to see.
Never heard of her.
And probably won't ever again.
Okay. But the big thing is Gordon is from Johannesburg.
Yes.
Beefcakes is a Johannesburg restaurant.
Hot spot. Sure.
Exactly. And we've got a hot spot from the hottest spot in Joburg sitting in the studio with us. So, I mean, Johannesburg, if they are actually interested in supporting the gay community, they can watch or look out for Mr. Gay South Africa online.
Yes.
But then throw all your support behind Gordon Grieve, because he really is a stunning guy, body, mind, and spirit.
Thank you.
You can put your shirt back on now, Gordon. Okay. And I believe if our listeners want to get a little bit closer to the future Mr. Gay South Africa for 2014, you guys are hosting a fundraising event at Beefcakes called Suds and Studs.
Yes.
It sounds so dirty, I have to ask, what exactly is Suds and Studs?
All right, basically Suds and Studs is a Gordon for Mr. Gay South Africa event that I'm hosting for Lulike Sizwe, which is an organization that assists victims of corrective rape. Now, Suds and Studs will basically be a Beefcakes Boys car wash. So it's going to be the Beefcakes Boys in their swimwear washing cars for charity.
Mm. Tell us more.
So it's going to be 150 Rand per person get you in, 200 Rand including a car wash, that all the proceeds for that will go to Liliki Sizwe. That will be at Beefcakes on the 13th of November at 11:30. Yes, just next to Thrupp Centre, 198 Oxford Road.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just give us those prices again. So it's 200 Rand.
Including a car wash.
Okay.
And then 150 Rand per person. That will include two welcome drinks and a platter to share.
Okay, so if I bring my car to be washed, I can sit in the car while they're washing it.
More than welcome to if you want to.
Okay, maybe I'm going to come in my Speedo.
You never know. Is there a happy ending?
Yes, Hayat, are you sure you know the... I'm sure you're a gay man in a woman's body. And on that sordid note, we're going to say goodbye to all of our listeners. Don't forget, follow us on Facebook, Edward Chamberlain Bell, or edward.chamberlainbell.com, and I'll share all those details where you can get in touch and you can support Gordon Grieve to become
Mr.
Mr. Gay South Africa for 2014, and make a date for the 30th of November to have your car washed in suds by studs at Beefcakes. I'm going to wish you a great weekend. Thank you so much, Gordon, for joining us. Kate, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, listeners,
as always, thank you for joining me. Till next week.
Want to know what to eat, where to go, and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Soundbites every Saturday, brought to you by The Food Cops on Radio Today.